we Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
The Nazarene spread rumor that he would rise from his own death after 3 days.
Post temple guards outside, and I will post Roman soldiers.
I saw him.
Who?
Jesus.
Do you believe he has risen from the dead?
It's what he promised would happen.
It's time we shut this story down. Kill all the tomb guards.
Emperor's seal is broken. Do we stay or go?
Tell my friends to make their way to the city gate so we can find a way out.
We can help.
Why are you helping us?
An enemy of theirs is a friend of ours.
The priest guarding the Nazarene's tomb.
What of them?
Two of them found murdered and the others are missing.
Go back to Jerusalem and wait. The power of the Holy Spirit will come to you.
Some excerpts from Sunday night's episode of AD, The Bible Continues. The second episode here, picking up where the last one left off, we had the crucifixion and burial of Jesus, and this episode, The Body is Missing. We'll be reviewing that episode. Episode 2 of AD, The Bible Continues with Pastor Ted Giese, here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 14th of April. Greetings and welcome. We are coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After we review AD Episode 2, we're going to respond to Evangelical Proof Text today, a rather obscure verse from Psalm 22, verse 3, that have led many in evangelicalism to make statements like God inhabits praise, that God, his presence is manifested when people praise him. Is that justified on the basis of Psalm 22, verse 3. We'll talk about mysticism in contemporary worship with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, responding to Evangelical Proof Text. Sam Wellman will join us after that. He's the author of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Frederick the Wise, Seen and Unseen Lives of Martin Luther's Protector. We'll talk about Frederick the Wise. And then Pastor Tom Baker joins us to round off the program. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson on the conversion of St. Paul in Acts chapter 9. A call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our beloved on-demand listeners, whenever, wherever you listen, you can use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to review Episode 2 of the TV miniseries AD, The Bible Continues, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
Give us a little recap of this episode, what it covers, and compare and contrast with Episode 1 from last Sunday.
Okay, so what you get is kind of an A-plot, B-plot thing going on. The A-plot... Well, it depends on how you look at it. They're kind of evenly matched in a way. But one of the plots is really involving Pilate and Caiaphas, and they're trying to figure out what's going on, and they're trying to kill the story before it spreads of Jesus' resurrection. The last episode was called The Tomb is Open, the Open Tomb, rather. This one's called The Body is Gone. The other plot that's going on involves the disciples of Jesus. So you have basically a number of things happening. You've got them going to the tomb, discovering that he's not there. So you have Mary Magdalene coming back, telling Peter and John. Peter and John go to the tomb. Then Mary Magdalene sees Jesus. And then in the midst of all of that, Thomas arrives in the upper room right after they had actually seen Jesus. And then you have also Thomas having a chance to see Jesus. You have the zealots help the disciples escape out of Jerusalem. Then they go to Galilee, where Peter and Jesus have another chance to talk, and that's where Peter is forgiven by Jesus, and then you have the ascension. So those are kind of like the main points in there, too. They also have them fishing in Galilee, so you have the account of that 153 fish in there as well.
We talked about this last time, and you brought up some concerns, and we'll go back through them again with respect to the second episode of AD The Bible Continues, but I'd like your reaction to what the producers of AD The Bible Continues had to say about how they put this thing together, Roma Downey and Mark Burnett, their philosophy, so to speak, behind the series.
We are using Acts as the backbone, and using that spine, we fill in the gaps with all sorts of other fantastic research and information we know from Jewish history, Roman history, Christian history, and we weave it all in and we fill out the Acts narrative.
The man you crucified was favored by the gods. We shall all suffer for his execution.
Once again, we've worked with advisors and scholars to guide us to make sure that our research is thorough and that we tell the story truthfully.
We've taken major advice from faith and biblical experts to make sure that when AD deals with biblical episodes, that they are accurate. And around that, we build the history of the times so the viewer can really feel, what was it like to be one of these disciples? How scary was this?
Why were you running from the Romans?
We're disciples of Jesus of Nazareth.
Pastor Giese, what are they saying there? What are your concerns about the way they've constructed this miniseries vis-a-vis the texts of the Book of Acts?
Well, I guess we're going to see more exactly how this is going to come out in the Book of Acts, because at the end of this episode, we're getting out of the four Gospels and right into the Book of Acts proper. And you don't have multiple versions of the Book of Acts to deal with. Right now, they're doing kind of a harmonized Gospel thing, so there are times where you're getting a little bit of Mark, a little bit of John, a little bit of Luke, a little bit of Matthew, back and forth, back and forth. As you heard in that clip, though, they're talking about weaving in historical things, stuff that, you know, from Near East history or things like that, that could complement the text or, you know, of Scripture. Now, if you're listening to a sermon, a pastor will often point out that something is from Josephus or something like that, and distinguish it apart from Scripture. If you're in a classroom setting and you're being taught by a pastor, they would say, this is some historical information we have about the time. But what you get in this movie is that it's all just kind of seamlessly woven in together, which leaves the viewer of episode 2 and 1 so far to have to kind of pick out what parts are and what parts aren't from Scripture. So that's a little bit of a, could be a concern, because you got to put your thinking cap on. And when you go to look at a particular incident in the show, in either of these episodes so far, you really need to go check all four Gospels to see where it is. Some of them, you know, certainly are from a particular Gospel, like Mary Magdalene's experience with Jesus, where she calls him rabbi. You know that's from John's Gospel. But other ones, you might not know exactly if it's going to be Luke or Matthew for a layperson watching the show. So you might want to be careful when you're going through this to be really watching to pick, be able to pick out what parts are distinctly from Scripture and what parts aren't. And then really, that's like silver and gold. The stuff from Scripture is going to be the gold material. The other stuff is not. And then you have to ask yourself, is the other stuff twisting Scripture, or is the other stuff complementing Scripture? Is it holding up what Scripture says, like in an apologetic way, or is it misdirecting what Scripture is trying to get across? Those are some things that you're going to be wanting to think about as you're watching it. One person who I'm friends with had commented to me, and he's an RCMP, so he's a Royal Canadian Mounted Police Officer, he's retired, and one of the things that he wished was in that first episode was the confession of the Roman soldier at the foot of the cross. So there are times where, you know, it'll come right up against something that you're expecting from Scripture, and then it's not there. Like, it's omitted. And I don't know if that's omitted for time or not. And perhaps if there's a DVD version of this later, a Blu-ray of it or something, they may have an extended version of it. I don't know. But at this point, there are moments where you're expecting something to happen, and then it doesn't happen. And that's something also to consider while you're watching it.
So you said they're trying to do some subplots here. And there, it sounds like at least in one case, they are greatly expanding on two characters that make an appearance at the end of the Gospels, Caiaphas and Pilate. And they're kind of fleshing their characters out in a perhaps kind of less than expected way for the person who might be familiar with the Passion account.
Yeah, you know, like when you read the Passion account, you'll hear like things like Caiaphas has a father-in-law, Annas, which means that he's married. But we don't get to know Caiaphas' wife in the gospel narratives. But here in the show, they do provide her as a character. And part of it is to make him maybe a more congenial character. Like, he's got a family life. He's got a wife. They're kind of trying to round out Caiaphas. And actually, Caiaphas kind of becomes a more likable character, even possibly, than you would think of from Scripture. He's presented as being quite faithful to God. You know, in the first episode, they had him praying one of the Psalms. So that was, you know, and it kind of right at a very key moment. He was praying from Psalm 28. And he's standing in front of the temple, in front of the temple curtain, which will tear in the end of that episode. And he's praying to you, O Lord, I call my rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands towards your most holy sanctuary. And as that's happening, it's transitioning to Christ on the cross. And Caiaphas is saying that as the sacrificial lambs of the Passover are being sacrificed. In the second episode here, he's in a mikveh bath, and he's basically praying a portion of Jeremiah 17, paraphrased a bit. He says, Lord our God, you are the hope of Israel, and all who forsake you shall be ashamed, for they have forsaken the one true God, the fountain of living water. And then he asks a prayer to keep him steadfast on the way ahead, kind of a thing. And really, like, that kind of gets at the theme of this particular episode, which is loyalty and disloyalty. And that shows up both with Pilate and and Caiaphas, and it also shows up with the disciples and Jesus. And, of course, Pilate is not as forgiving as Jesus is, and Jesus is forgiving of his disciples. And that's kind of like the main theme of the whole episode.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing episode 2 of the TV miniseries, AD, The Bible Continues. A few more minutes with him right after this. Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
The people of Zion Lutheran Church, East Moline, Illinois, invite you to discover the blessings that await you here. At Zion, we proclaim a gospel of free grace for all. No one ever falls too low to find forgiveness and peace with God in Christ Jesus. To learn more, visit us at zionem.com or join us on Sunday at 9 a.m. Zion is located at 17618 Hubbard Road in rural East Moline, Illinois.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It's amazing to me that one of the greatest life, in fact, the greatest life ever lived, that of Jesus of Nazareth, has come under attack for being non-historical.
Dr. Paul Meyer talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
If we use all the rules of historical research, we find that Jesus passes all those tests perfectly, and that indeed there is easy documentation that I can give to every Christian to prove that, yes, there was a historical Jesus of Nazareth beyond all debate.
You can meet and hear Dr. Paul Meyer making the case for the historical Jesus Friday, June 19th and Saturday, June 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is located 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Attendance is limited to 400. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing the second episode of AD, The Bible Continues, that television miniseries with Pastor Ted Giese. Folks, Issues Etc. is brought to you in part today by Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota. If you have a high school age child or a grandchild, encourage them to check out Bethany Lutheran College at blc.edu. blc.edu. Small classes, attentive faculty, affordable degrees, and confessionally Lutheran. Bethany Lutheran College, Mankato, Minnesota. Ted, I want to come back to something you mentioned briefly before, and that is the one of the tendencies for them to play fast and loose with the biblical account, especially surrounding Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. They had, you mentioned last time we did this, the mother of Jesus, Mary, kind of arguing for the resurrection before Jesus had appeared. She believed it would happen. And this episode, I believe, Peter and others also seemed to either believe or kind of still hold out hope for the resurrection, contrary to the biblical account. Why this tinkering with the text?
Yeah, this is really interesting what they do with this. And I think there's a reason for it. And I don't know that it's not a good reason, but because it is contradictory to Scripture, and that makes it a bad reason. But this is a 12-episode show, and they're introducing to you these characters, and they want them to be rock stars through this, because we're going to move into the book of Acts proper, right? And that's what they're hoping for. So really, you can't have your rock stars that you're, like, introducing be, you know, total spiritual deadbeats right at the beginning of your show. So I think this is some of the rationale. I'm reading a little bit into it, but I can't seem to figure out another reason why. Like, they're presenting them as super faithful, and really that kind of removes them from the body of the rest of Christianity. The fact that they are in Scripture, they are unsure and they're frightened and they're afraid and everything's falling apart. And they've all run away, and they've denied Jesus, and they betrayed him. And then Christ comes and forgives them. Is deeply moving for us as Christians now, and for Christians throughout all history. So this is where, you know, it's kind of sifting them out a little bit from everyone else. And maybe this is a Roman Catholic tendency within this particular miniseries to filter them out. But that seems to be an odd thing to me to see them doing that, where, you know, very clearly, like at one point, John is making the case to the rest of his fellow disciples about what Isaiah had said. And he's quoting things from Isaiah 53 and trying to make the case for that. And it's an odd thing.
Okay, what else, what other things do you find interesting or perhaps concerning about last night's episode as it continues to unfold? Any kind of overt complaints that you would lodge?
Well, the one thing that is certainly an issue in it is that it is actually kind of asacramental. So if you're a Lutheran watching it, or if you're from a church body, like maybe we've got some Roman Catholic listeners who are listening right now, you know, you'll notice that they kind of downplay the sacraments. So there are some scriptural details that are really nice, like when Christ shows up in the upper room, he does ask for something to eat. Now, he doesn't end up eating broiled fish, but he does eat some bread with them, and in other accounts, you know, it is bread that he breaks with them too. So that's a nice detail, and there's this moment where there's a little hint that maybe they're getting closer to something sacramental in the area of the Lord's Supper. He goes to hand the bread to Peter, but Peter doesn't eat it. And this is, of course, before his experience by the Sea of Galilee where he's forgiven by Jesus, and that comes near the end of the episode. But earlier in the episode, when Jesus appears to them in the upper room, there's this moment that's kind of almost getting to a sacramental thing and kind of pointing towards it. But really, that's not as big a deal as maybe the baptism-related one. And that's one where, and this was very much the same in the Son of God movie that's from these same people, and that was based on the, or taken almost directly, like it's almost all the same footage, from the Bible, the miniseries, which they had done in 2013. And we did a review of Son of God, and in that we talked about how baptism was kind of missing. So at the Ascension, where, like Lutherans particularly, are going to go to Matthew 28 as the place where we think about what Jesus said at the Ascension, because it says, go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is not the version that's presented at the Ascension. So it's not that it's not scriptural, it's just that it's they're choosing passages that come off as with a low view of the sacraments. So they take the part, which understandably so, they take it from the beginning of Acts, and then they add into it a little bit from Mark's gospel. And that's how they kind of put it together. So the Acts bit that they put in is Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then that's immediately followed up with Mark 16:15, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And then the Ascension happens, kind of. It is... the Ascension in this is much more epic and dramatic than in previous installments from these producers, or really from pretty much any movie that I've seen dealing with this. And it's gorgeous looking. It's quite epic. And you see Jesus kind of trekking up the hill, and he's going up towards the top of the hill, and then they just kind of cut away. So you don't see Jesus actually ascend. And I think that they're doing that because, you know, they don't want him to look like Superman or something, you know. But they do have this scene right in there, and it is quite epic, it is quite dramatic, but the thing that's missing is reference to baptism. And I think that as, like, sacramental Christians, like you're going to be sitting there watching that and go, whoa, 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 there's no, where's the baptism part? You know, like, I think that's what you're going to notice.
Why, with just a few minutes here, why do you think they're making the little tweaks? Like you mentioned, John being in on the burial, things like that, that are unjustified. Even if you're going with their kind of stated philosophy, if it doesn't say it wasn't this way, we can go ahead and say it was. Why tweak that kind of stuff?
I don't know. And this is, in the notes I sent you, this is one of the things. Like, John is right there with Joseph of Arimathea, and Mary, and Mary Magdalene, and they are burying him, like Jesus, in the tomb. Like, that was from the first episode. Now, Scripture has them at the cross, but they don't go with Joseph of Arimathea into the tomb and do the burial. So, it's to me, it's a very odd thing. It's like they want to conflate together the preparation of the body in a way that it's hard to make that work, like, scripturally. I don't get why they're doing that. maybe it's for time, but that's a bad reason. And again, I think they did that again for this other spot with Thomas. Thomas, you know, he when he first is told that we've seen Jesus, then it's like a whole, like it's 8 days later. It's like a week later where they, where he actually gets to see Jesus. But what they do is they conflate that. They take those two incidences, and they take a whole week out of the middle of it, and they make it all happen in that one kind of scene or a couple scenes in this episode. And again, it's so that they're not sitting around for a whole week while Pilate's trying to find them because, and Caiaphas is trying to find them because Jerusalem's not that big. It's not that hard to find somebody. It's like a tiny place. So like they go, well, if they can't have all the pressure and drama of trying to find these guys for a whole week and not find them, so they can conflate that, but they lose something in the midst of it. And one other thing, too, that they've done is when Thomas actually sees Jesus, you know, what does he say? What does he say from Scripture? Like, what in Scripture, what does Thomas say?
Well, he says, my Lord and my God.
Right. In the episode, he says, my Lord.
What does that
He doesn't say, my Lord and my God.
What does that tell you, then, finally, with about a minute here?
Well, it confuses me in some ways. Like, I wonder why they make the conscious decision to take out the spot that says, that has Jesus say, my God. Like, that Thomas says about Jesus that he is God. I don't know why they did that. Like, I can speculate as to why they did that. Stating that Jesus is God would, in some people's minds, they might think that would put a roadblock towards sharing, like, this is so weird, sharing the gospel with people who are non-Christians. Because if they start off with Jesus being God, well, that might turn people off. I don't know. I'm guessing. Perhaps that, you know, saying that Jesus is God would offend Muslims. It's just a question. I wish I could ask directly Roma Downey and Mark Burnett why they made the choice. It's just, it's two words, but they're super big, important words. Like, this is a giant, important moment, and you just kind of, everyone, like, there are lots of things in this show that are done really well, and you're like, wow, that was really good. And then, and you're sifting things out, what stuff's scriptural, what stuff isn't, and then there's these moments where it just almost gets there and then just drops off in the most peculiar way, and that is a strange moment where he says, my Lord, and doesn't say, my Lord and my God.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can find a link to his blog and his movie reviews at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thank you.
Thank you.
When we come back on this Tuesday afternoon, we're going to respond to an evangelical proof text, as we do as often as we can with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We're going to look at Psalm 22, verse 3. It's pulled straight out of context and kind of used in the service of mystical worship. You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. How does that equate to evangelical mysticism? We'll find out right after this.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
What do lay people owe their pastors? I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled, What Hearers Owe Their Pastors, Receive the Gift, and you can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Jim Pierce's journey from Pentecostalism, fundamentalism, and atheism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues, etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, etc.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues, Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.